Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to everyone around the world. This is Reverend Karen L. Heasley from the Spiritual Path Church, and we are so happy that you have come to join us this morning for our divine service. So sit back, relax, and let us help you to enjoy this service. Now I want to turn the service over to Marilyn Fair.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start the beginning journey. Divine Spirit, we send the light of protection to all that you can, here and around the world. We ask that you stay near to us, keeping us safe. We ask that your light shine down upon us, giving us the strength and faith to overcome the obstacles that have placed on us. Divine Spirit, we ask that you send healing to those who are in need of help today. We ask that your healing light surrounds us, makes us whole again. Let your light, love, and power restore us to perfect health. Now, I would like you to think of a loved one, a relative, or even your pet that might need healing. You may also send out healing to the world. And we know at this time, the world certainly has healing. You may send healing to everyone, just in their own lives, to save others. And even you may need healing today, and that is okay. As you are sending healing or asking for healing for yourself, know that your healing thoughts do matter. Know that you matter. You may now think of them in yourself as safe, protected, and free. Know that the universe, the divine, surrounds them, protects them, and keeps them safe as well as yourself. Know that you are loved. Know that your loved one, friends, relatives, pets, in the world are surrounded by God's love. Today, I would like to talk a little about Nan McKenzie. She was a trance healer. She was also a clairvoyant. She was born Sarah Anna Annie Murray Stevenson in Yorkshire in 1882. She began work for the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain in 1936. She gave her first public demonstration the same year. Nan McKenzie became famous as a trans lecturer, clairvoyant, and in particular as a trans healer. She had a guide named Running Water that helped her. One account of her healing is from Arthur Wyman. He said he was her miracle. He was suffering from a severe internal cancer. His doctor told him it is pretty near the end for him. One night as he was going to bed, he asked Running Water and McKenzie's guide to get rid of the cancer. When he went back to see the doctor, the doctor said it was a miracle. No, said Wyman, just say that one of nature's laws had worked. So impressed with Running Water, the doctor began to use Running Water himself on certain cases, and always with reverence and faith. Nan McKenzie didn't care about things. There are many cells of being cured. She was also a psychic from early childhood. At the age of 4, she predicted when her aunt was going to leave her mother. Her mother asked her, "What makes you think that?" She replied, "She's coming on the train." And she did. Van grew up and became Mrs. McKenzie at the end of the First World War. The McKenzies traveled a bit. In their travels, she, along with her guide, Running Water, they helped many. In her healing work, Van was put into a deep trance. Running Water would arrive to help. Van McKenzie's fame spread. She became working as a freelance medium. Eventually, she joined the staff of the Mary LeBone Spiritualist Association. It wasn't until 1939 that she started healing at the MSA. Throughout the war, she and Running Water expanded the MSA's healing activities until 4 large meetings were being held each week. There were many healings. Nan McKenzie was also trained as a nurse. She was always attracted to healing. Their guide, Running Water, confirmed this was to be her mission. She was a founding member of the Royal College of Nursing. Her accomplishments proved to countless mourners that life does continue after physical death. She is responsible for replacing fears caused by bereavement with the knowledge of survival after death. Nan McKenzie is probably the only spirit healer who was praised by an American bishop.
Thank you, Reverend Farrell. Now I would like to turn the service over to Reverend Pam Lemon, and she is going to do the address.
Thank you, Reverend Karen. Good morning, everyone. Our topic today was something that Reverend Karen asked me to talk about, and it was something that was close to my heart because the question is, what brought me to become a spiritualist? And I can start by saying that I was raised by Christian parents, and there were 5 of us children growing up together. Our family attended church every Sunday and included everybody. My mom, dad, brother, and sisters, we all got together and we went to church as one family. These were great memories for me because we were very close and we were a loving family, and Sunday was the day that we could all spend together. So it was easy to identify church with family. Well, my brothers and sisters and I, we also attended Sunday school as kids, and we learned about our religion, which was meant to increase our knowledge and faith in Christian beliefs. Throughout my education, both spiritual and in school, my favorite subjects were science and math. Figuring out the composition of compounds and using math to make logical conclusions just resonated for me. Logical reasoning made the most sense in all my courses. In college, I began as a chemistry major, but after 2 years, I found I needed a more people profession, so I switched into nursing, and that gave me a lifelong career doing lots of different and interesting things as a professional nurse. In that, I felt very blessed. As for the religious part of my life, going into adulthood, I realized there were a lot of unanswered questions. Searching for more answers, I read about other religions, as well as the Christian one. I think it was my logical mind and the curious science part of me attempting to figure out the workings of the universe and theories about life and death, especially as I got older. Where do we go when we die? The religious teachings I was brought up with about we are going to either be in heaven or hell just didn't seem logical to me. Some religions that I've found, they didn't even believe in life after death, that when you pass and you're out of, you know, you're out of existence, that's the end. You don't exist anymore. This didn't really make sense to me because of one thing. We possess an individual mind, and I felt this was the storage place of our real existence, our souls. Energy cannot be destroyed, only changed. Then where do our souls go after we die? I found in spiritualism the belief that the soul continues after physical death. More importantly, as spiritualists, we believe that the soul can move forward in development and evolve continuously. I believe that's what drew me to spiritualism. First to study it, and next to incorporate it into my belief system. The logic of proof of the afterlife through the demonstration of mediumship. Perfect. And as I experienced the passing of those in my family so close to me, I sought comfort in talking to my friend and medium, Karen Heasley, and attending the Spiritual Path Church every Sunday. I was drawn to the beautiful homilies each Sunday by Reverend Marilyn Fair, and her inspired words resonated with my beliefs, and it was a very important part of my journey. An important part of the journey as well included the proof of an afterlife that was shown to me by Karen's readings with messages from my family members who had passed. Messages that demonstrated to me that spirit does continue and best of all watches over us. I believe this because of several logical conclusions that were proven to me. First of all, at first, I did not know Karen, and she did not know me. So how could she be so accurate in relating details about my family, past events, and current events? There had to be something to all of this. So I began my study of spiritualism as a religion. There was so much more I had to learn about the concepts and proof given by the pioneer mediums throughout history. Karen referred me to many books and articles that were not only fascinating, but most logical in their demonstrations to prove the continuation of the spirit. The mediums in history used scientific evidence and experiments to prove the existence of the continuation of spirit. And as any form of study starts with the principles, as I attended our services on Sunday, the seven principles that we read each week are both simple and complex, but at the same time very logical. Those seven principles were also the basis that brought me to become a spiritualist. To me, the principles reflected the words that I learned in my Christian upbringing, especially learning the Ten Commandments. To believe in God as a divine being, live a good life in fellowship with all humankind, be kind and considerate of others, and responsible for one's own actions. I also remember as a young person studying the Christian religion that I thought it was not fair nor logical for one man to suffer for the rest of us, die a terrible death so that we could be forgiven our sins. It seems more reasonable to think that we are responsible for our own actions in this life that we are given. We will reach oneness with God via our own decisions about how we choose to live our lives. Also, in the Christian teachings, I just couldn't get the concept of hell. Over the years, I began to believe that we make our own heaven or hell right here in this lifetime by how we choose to think. And how we think comes from our soul. Certainly, the thoughts we have are pure energy, and energy cannot be destroyed. That is a scientific fact. In my earlier days, I was not very much a positive thinker, and I found my life not going the way I wanted. I became depressed, and the Christian religion did not have the answers I needed, especially after the loss of my best friend and sister. Her passing was a very significant event in my life. She was 15 months older than me and died in a terrible automobile accident with a severe head injury. She was on a ventilator with no brain function. This vibrant, beautiful person, only 27 years of age, who was a biology teacher, loved by her students and loved by the faculty that she worked with. It was just heartbreaking. And it was only a matter of time before I would have to say goodbye to her. I was only 26. We grew up like twin sisters, really. Once I lost her, I was despondent. It took years of therapy and medications for anxiety and depression to shake off the terrible state of mind I experienced. The most important thing I learned from this experience and being in a depressed state for years was that I had two choices in life. I could choose happiness or sadness, and I know my sister would have wanted me to be happy. So I began on my own journey to become a more positive thinker, and it really did change my life. I wanted to see the glass half full instead of half empty. I met a wonderful man who I married and helped me see the glass as half full. He became a practicing Reiki master teacher and worked with energy healing. His clients were those who benefited from his treatments, but he never took credit for their healing because, as he explained to me, he was just the vessel delivering the healing coming from spirit. That's what we believe as spiritualists too. When we talk about spiritual healing, and over time in history of spiritualism, the spiritual healers never took credit as being the people that healed. They always felt and knew it was energy. They were channels of that energy coming from spirit. My husband had many books that explained energy healing and how spirit helps us if we just ask. I found these books fascinating. But more than that, the beliefs resonated with my soul. Once, when the Spiritual Path Church was just starting out, and really, I don't even know if it was a church then, but it was a meeting place, and there was a speaker there that my husband had read about and wanted to attend the healing session scheduled at the church. That was the first time I met Karen, but only briefly. But I began to attend educational sessions there. Then once the church started to have service every Sunday, I attended. I was looking for a place to go on Sundays that I felt I could start my week out on a positive note. It was just like family. I joined the church and became a spiritualist. I loved the principles that life continues beyond physical existence. Our belief begins with the foundation of a divine life force that created mankind and continues to maintain all life forces. We believe that this divine life force has always been in existence and will always be continuous. Although many religions and beliefs teach that man's soul continues on after death, spiritualists, especially evidential spiritualists, believe that the human soul can progress. Over time, our religion has gathered both scientific and empirical evidence that supports the belief of life after death. If God's continuous and mankind is an integral part of God, we believe that human life is continuous as well. Spiritualists have worked diligently over the years to give proof of that belief through the evidence of mediums and those working with spirit to gain physical evidence. This took years of patient research and careful scrutiny by those dedicated to obtain answers about the afterlife. The evidence they provided confirmed that the soul retains its consciousness, intellect, character, and personality after the life of the physical body ends. Confirmation comes from those receiving spirit communications and who knew that person and their situations well. They have verified personal attributes and distinguishing characteristics so they can authenticate the identities of the spirit communicating with them through the medium. That's what drew me to spiritualism, because Reverend Karen gave such valid evidential messages to myself and also to my other family members. We are all individuals. We have memories, emotions, ambitions, hopes, loves, fears, everything that we feel and experience. This is what makes us individuals and remains internal to our spiritual being. Scientific evidence has proven and documented that when a person dies, there is a very slight loss of body weight, even though all functions have ceased. Later, scientists could measure the weight of thoughts and concluded that thoughts which give us consciousness are composed of molecules that have physical weight. If that is the case, we can affirm that our consciousness, which is made up of all these thoughts, emotions, feelings, is continuous and therefore cannot be destroyed, because matter cannot be destroyed. These concepts really resonated with me and actually reaffirmed my decision to become a spiritualist and to become actually a reverend in the church that I love so much. Although I'm retired, I remember a story when I was a registered nurse working out as in the first job I had, actually, it was intensive care. Although most of our patients were finally transferred to step-down units and recovered, there were a number who passed despite the best efforts of care. In each and every case, when I experienced a person's death, at that time, I valued that it was a sacred time to be in the room tending to them during their passing. I can't really explain it now, but it's something that I experienced then and as I grew older and became a spiritualist, it made more sense to me. Because I felt there was a change in that room that I couldn't quite explain at that time. But when I think back on those memories, I believe now that some sort of spiritual being was there to help the patient cross over to a different form of existence, the continuation of the human spirit. At that time, I was a Christian, and I did believe in life after death, so there was some comfort there. But as a spiritualist, and as we do not believe in hell, it sort of gave me more comfort to know that people can make a choice to continue their existence and evolve and grow into a higher consciousness, and how it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that. But we do believe that the life you live now shapes how your consciousness will continue in the afterlife, although many religions believe in the soul continuing after death. As I said before, the key to spiritualist belief is that the individual can continue to make progress in the afterlife. That's why spiritualists do not believe in hell. What you think is what you are and what you will become. Most of us have heard and know about the benefits of positive thinking. Although we all may progress after passing to different levels of energy, just remember, we're always going to be surrounded by loving guidance and support if you choose to make progress on your spiritual journey. I've always said, this is an important part of my understanding, as a vibrational energy, gratitude is one of the highest vibrations. Strive and begin to end your day with a prayer of gratitude. It's just talking to God to show gratitude for whatever you have, even if you don't think it's very much. We each prepare here on earth for what we will experience in the place we find ourselves after passing. It can be a place of light and continued progression, or as dark as what a person leaves in this life. Just remember how dark it may be. Remember that the soul is always surrounded by love and has the opportunity to move to a place of light with the help of beings of light and love, whose purpose is to help every person move forward to a better and happier place. No one is ever cut off from the all-embracing love of the God force. When I read this concept, it made me accept the fact that we have to pray for everyone, even with somebody maybe we don't always agree with. Many spiritualists and scientists over the years have worked to give proof via communications from those who have passed. Mediums give messages validated by the person receiving the communications from their loved ones. This is the mainstream thought about how spiritualists prove the continuation of life after death. But it's important to explore other means of spirit communication and proof of the continuation of life through the rich history of spiritualism. Thank you, Reverend Karen.
Thank you, Reverend Pam. And now I would like to turn the service over to Reverend Ashley Ash.
Thank you. I would like to share a prayer from a book of spiritualist prayer today. Beloved Spirit, infinite source of love, bless us who have been drawn together here this morning. Our spiritual searches have led each of us here to seek deeper meaning of the boundless and wonderful mysteries of spirit. Help us in the time we are together to truly feel spirit within ourselves, to grow in wonderment of the world of spirit, to reach a more perfect understanding of spirit. Make us more aware that our interactions with one another are truly blessings. Even the unpleasant interactions have something to teach us. Allow us each to recognize the contributions to our spiritual growth made by every person we meet. And keep us mindful of our impact on the spiritual growth of those we meet, recognizing our responsibility towards this community of spirit on earth. May this morning service touch our hearts and bring us closer to spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ashley. As I was sitting here and listening to Pam and Marilyn and Ashley, sometimes becoming a spiritualist, can be a hard road. But when you think about it, what rewards we get from God in the spirit world to feel and sense and be aware of the spirit people around us. It's wonderful. And that's what I love most about being a spiritualist. So now this concludes our service. And I am so happy that you have come to join us today. And we hope that we have brought you some peace and tranquility to go on during the week. And reach out. Reach out to the world. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to your family. And show them that you care and they are not alone in these trying times. We must all be the light that helps others see. God bless you. Take care. Thank you.